Welcome to selfdiscoveryradio.com, where we bring you insightful, liberating, intuitive people from around the globe. They share their life's journeys and experience wisdom to guide you on your own discovery of self. Each week, from Tuesday to Monday, we will bring you new shows on our many genres, and with over 1,400 shows, we have the answers for you. Enjoy your listening on selfdiscoveryradio.com. Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to Choose Positive Living with me, your host, Sarah Troy, and my guest, Barbara Schiffman. We're going to be talking about harmonious evolution. What is that? Well, it's about body, mind, spirit synergy. All parts of you working together in harmony, like a symphony. We are our own music. Let it be something that resonates with other people's ears and fills their heart with joy and lifts their spirit, because those are the good vibrations that we're trying to raise in this world in order to raise us out of the darkness that we are still on the brink of toppling in. So we are our solutions, folks, in our own lives and in this planetary life, and it is up to us to invest in ourselves, fortify ourselves, fuel ourselves to be the best we can be, mind, body, soul, and spirit, so that we can live in that harmony and evolve, because it is about moving forward. It's not about stagnation. Barbara knows exactly what I'm talking about. She's had decades of a highly regarded Hollywood script consultant. She transitioned from working with writers and producers and fictional film and stories to supporting what she calls a true story in progress, people's individual lives. And very, very often those people's individual lives are more mind-blowing than any script that can ever give you. And as a life and soul coach and an author and a teacher, she helps people create mind-body-spirit synergy to all parts of their lives, working in harmony to support personally evolution plus life enjoyment. Remember that word, enjoyment? We're meant to get out there and enjoy life, folks. Her own life experiences include cross-country move in her 20s, then nearly a 40-year marriage. Wonderful. Becoming a grandparent of twins and a creative serial entrepreneur over the decades. Plus her work with individuals, groups, has contributed her to unique coaching programs, products, books, and including transformational coloring journals, which I did interview Barbara when we first started the station on her coloring books, which are truly beautiful, absolutely extraordinary. And I know that color therapy is so healing on so many levels. And we will definitely talk about those today. We have a lot to talk about. So let's bring Barbara on and get on with the conversation. Welcome to the show, Barbara.
Thank you. I'm delighted to join you.
We've got a lot of books here, and we will get to those. But it's, I kind of touched on something there. When you look at people's individual lives and the things that they face or things they've had to overcome and triumph over, if you were to present it as a script, people would say it's unbelievable, wouldn't they?
In many cases, yes. And yet, each of us is a story. I like to think of us that we're a story in the scope of the universe or the mind of God or whatever terms you like, because we're each writing our life as we go, and each one counts. No life is any less valuable than any other, no matter how famous or not famous or rich or not rich one is. Each life is a story in progress.
Well, our own book, right? Each part of our life is a chapter, that part of that evolution
exactly.
of our life. Right.
Exactly. And many of us are living multiple stories within one lifetime. At least that's been my experience.
Yes. Kind of quite schizophrenic, yeah.
Well, each one leads to the next,
yes.
So hopefully they're connected.
Yes.
That would be ideal.
I think people kind of, do have that kind of schizophrenic time in their lives where, they're living in static and the writing has completely gone off script. And it's when it's that something that taps them on the shoulder and saying, come back, this is the path that you're meant to be on. And, release and let go of insisting being on a certain path and realize this is where you're meant to go, and you follow that and it puts you back on track in your own novel of life.
That's very accurate in many ways. I like to think even further than that we're always on our path. Sometimes we get what look like detours, but each of them is taking us in the right direction, even if we think they're not. This is something that comes from my work with the Akashic Records, is looking at all of our life as moving forward and connected and part of the story, not that we're going off in the wrong direction or doing something we shouldn't be doing. If we weren't supposed to be doing it, it wouldn't even come up for us to consider. So I like to think that we're always moving forward, even through those detours that sometimes are the most important and sometimes show us what we don't want to be doing, so we can switch gears and get back to what we'd like to be doing instead.
Yeah, there's always a lesson to be learned. You know, what something is perceived as a mistake, as a wrong turn. And, you know, we have free will. Sometimes we're given an option, you know, an easy path or a hard path. And as humans, we generally take the hard one. But there's always a lesson to be learned and a tool to be gathered from it, isn't it, in that experience?
Absolutely. That's what most of us forget. Sometimes we think of what's happening to us as punishment because it feels that way, or not good enough, or going in the wrong direction. But again, if it were supposed to be different, at least from our soul's point of view, which is the part of us that I feel is there before our body gets born and will be there after our body is done, after we hit our shelf life as a physical organism, but that part of us that's collecting the energy of our stories, that is feeding it into that collective consciousness or unified field, as the physicists call it, or what I label as the Akashic Records, because that's just a label that is comfortable for me in some of the work that I do and teach. And it's all part of the same energy. It's our soul energy. And we're each like a thread in the big tapestry of all of us humans. So our thread is holding all the energy of this lifetime and any other lifetimes we've had that got us here, and the potential for what's next, which we're creating as we go.
Yeah, each lifetime experience is another evolution of our learning. And, you know, we're coming back here to learn something significant. And it's all in our soul DNA, isn't it? You know, people call it that deja vu. Or I don't know how I did that, or how I knew that. Well, it's because it's all there. You know, knowledge is in that imprint of your DNA. And, you know, each experience that you have in this life will recall that. And if you learn to tune in to your soul and your heart and your spirit, you will know actually how to embrace that knowledge so much easier, you know, so much more, instead of fighting it.
Oh, I love how you said that. And that's absolutely true. The harmony between our life and our soul is what I've started to focus on. I've worked in the area of life and soul balance for many years. And balance to me is not having everything perfect. Mm-hmm. It's being able to have everything work together. And I started seeing that more in the area of what you've tuned in on here, as the harmony of it. Different instruments in the symphony, each working together to make a beautiful music beyond what each part can do alone. But then when there is a little bit of discord, it gets our attention. Those are the challenges in our life. I often think of those challenges the way I think of sand creating a pearl in an oyster. Yeah. We need the sand kind of slipping into that oyster shell to rub against the inside, to irritate that inner shell, which has the beautiful iridescent quality to it in the oyster, to have the iridescent stick to it and grow into that pearl. And it takes more time and more annoyance for the sand to do its job to create a big, valuable pearl than it does for just a little pearl. So when we have those challenges, and some of them are big, health challenges, financial challenges, relationship challenges, all kinds of things, I like to think of it as we're growing our pearl. That doesn't make it feel any better in many cases, but at least it gives value to the experience. And my focus is to move through it with as much harmony, as much enjoyment as possible, because sometimes there can be things to enjoy in the struggles, in the challenges. At least the fact that we're moving through it and getting to the other side when we get there, and growing from it, expanding and evolving from it, And that makes the sand less annoying because it's doing its job. It's helping create something more important than just the sand.
Exactly. And I think this is something sometimes we measure ourselves against other people. You're not an Oprah. You're not a Steve Jobs. And we're not. We are our own individual selves, with each of us carrying our own gift. And it's when we actually understand what that gift is, what that purpose is here in life, you know, then we learn to set it free and explore it and discover it and light fuel underneath it. And when you embrace that beautiful divine purpose in life, that gift that you were chosen for, it is abundant what you have to give and what you receive in life. But it's recognizing what your gift is. It's not somebody else's. It's yours. Turn your eyes in upon yourself.
Truly. And I know quite a few very rich and famous people. Their lives are not all easy street.
Yeah.
They have challenges no one else needs to know about but the people close to them. But they also give back a lot, and they do it in the spotlight, a much, much bigger spotlight now than ever before, which can be very, very challenging for them and their families and the people around them. So even though what they have looks better than what we have for some people, that doesn't mean we want their challenges. Sometimes just having the ones we have, which in comparison aren't as big, you know, is just fine, but they seem better to us because of these other things, and yet their lives come sometimes with bigger challenges than we would want to have to take on in this time around.
I mean, you know, number one, a lack of privacy. They can't do anything without, you know, paparazzi or something being there. Any of our little life mistakes that we make that hardly anybody notices is under scrutiny with them. And then there's always living up to this perception and expectation that society has put upon them, you know, to live up to this persona. And they can lose themselves in that sometimes, in trying to keep up those appearances instead of, you know, keeping it real to who they really are. You see some people, you know, like Brad Pitt and Angelina, you know, where the acting has become secondary. It's become a tool to fuel their purpose. And
yes.
You know, and when you see that, when you see people that have taken their fame, their money, their glory, and now go, I was given this gift, you know, yes, there's a price to pay for it, but, you know, I now have a responsibility to seed opportunities for other people. And that is something I admire greatly.
I do too, and each of us do that in our own lives, often without realizing it.
Yeah.
Many of the people that I work with in any of my coaching work or some of my students, they often don't realize how they are examples to other people, how they don't have to be in the spotlight. They don't have to write books and teach classes unless they are called to do so. But just by being that example in their lives of living their life with a sense of enjoyment for the challenges as well as the easy, fun stuff, but being grateful for this gift of life. I've really come to think of this experience of life as a gift, that if we're not enjoying it, we're shortchanging ourselves.
Yeah.
And when people can start seeing their lives as examples to others, even if nobody tells them that's the case, then often they're able to be more comfortable in just talking to and counseling their friends and family and not feeling like they should or they have to do it on a bigger stage that comes with bigger responsibilities, bigger pressures, bigger challenges, you know, and a bigger arena to fail in the spotlight if that's part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
So each of us has that ability. And it's that enjoyment of life. Just think, if each of us were enjoying our lives more and not being so fearful of everything going on around us that we see all the time in the news now over and over again, that we'd be feeding more positive energy into that unified field, into the Akashic Records and the collective consciousness, which, again, is all the same energetic stuff to me. And we would be keeping that balance between peace and fear much more easily, because we don't have to all be 100% in peace. As long as we're 51%, that balance is there. And as we're having more peace, more enjoyment, more acceptance, more appreciation of ourselves and our own personal journey, no matter what's happening on it. We're feeding that into that energy field that the physicists now acknowledge is all around us, and the metaphysicians have always known was there. And it's that inner space. We're looking often so much around us in the outer world around us for our validation or for our clues. And having that balance, that harmony, as you've said, between the inner and outer, creates a sense of balance and a sense of resilience, that no matter what's happening, we can bring ourselves back to center. We don't have to look outward for someone else to do it for us.
Yeah. And you know, I think people need to understand we're not meant to live in this beacon of joy and happiness all the time, because it can be rather hysterical. We're not designed for that. You know,
no.
But it's to have peace in our darkness, you know, and darkness not to be a place to be terrified of or fearful of, is that sometimes that darkness is that melancholy side of us, our perspective side of us, or just the sad side of us. And it's bringing light to that darkness, but not obliterating it, because it's there for a reason. It is part of that balance. And, you know, I think one of the huge obstacles we have in life is this expectation of how we're meant to be. And we're such reactionary people that, you know, when we hear something we don't like, we go up in arms about it. But then it becomes about, you know, I'm going to beat you, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to do this, instead of like, well, why did you say that? Help me understand. I don't like what you said. Please justify it. There isn't a conversation.
Well, we don't converse much anymore.
No.
People email, people text, people Twitter, people complain on all the media about someone or something else. Nobody's talking to each other anymore. And I know I'm an advocate for taking time away from the electronic devices, because we're not electronic beings. We're organic and running on devices that are plugged in 24/7. We humans are not. I don't know about you, but I need to play a little bit and sleep a little bit here and there, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's thing called fresh air, you know, and nature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we often do not tune into the natural elements, and some of the work that I do and I've written about, and I recommend people do. It's as simple as taking a walk without your cell phone and without your device where you can, your iPod where you can listen to music, and to listen to the sounds of nature.
Yes.
To look at the flowers, to breathe the air, to move your body. That puts us back into a physical pace. It's not that electronic pace. Or to go, you know, to the ocean and put your feet in the water. And let that flow energy of water energy kind of cleanse us. So I use the four elements, earth, air, water, and fire, that correspond with earth being the physical, tangible, not just our bodies, but our tangible world. The air being our mental thoughts that move at the speed of light. They are fast, and they're carrying us away all the time. And all of our wonderful electronic devices are tuned to that level. And then there's the water element, which ebbs and flows, which has a, you know, kind of like a gentle ocean, not a tsunami or a waterfall, and which relates to our emotions, because they change in an instant. We can feel good about somebody one minute and then bad about them the next if we hear they said something about us. And then we can like them again when they apologize. That changes instantly. And then there's that fire element, which is the spiritual, the soul element, that divine light that illuminates and warms everything. So having all of that available, and if one area, the mental or the emotional usually, is kind of running away with us, to balance it out by doing something physical, taking that walk. Petting my cat works very well for me, and he's very happy about that. You know, putting your feet, bare feet on the earth, and resetting your energy system, because the earth actually has a pulse that's been measured out in the desert. It's called the Schumann resonance, and we aren't in touch with it the way humans used to be in previous centuries, because we're walking around on cement and rubber-soled shoes. So going and standing on the grass,
yeah,
literally hugging a tree,
yes,
whose roots are going into the earth, resets our system, just like pushing the reset button on our computer does for the computer. So just little things like that can make all the difference and then let us go back to that space where we can bring a little more peace and harmony into whatever's going on next, especially when it's challenging.
Exactly. And you know, the thing about nature, you know, the beautiful thing about trees is that their roots are a complete matrix of energy. They communicate with each other. And,
Yes. You
know, those rustling of leaves isn't always, you know, the wind going through them. It's that conversation that they're having. And, you know, I used to walk down certain avenues of trees and they'd be rustling. And I remember one time walking along and they were rustling away really loudly. And I said, okay, you don't need to shout at me. You know, don't talk all at once. And all of a sudden the trees just stopped. And then it was just one at a time, gently resonating with me. Now, are we talking in a dialogue of verbal intellect? No, we're talking in vibrations. And the vibrational conversation that's going on between the trees and I is one where it just penetrates right into your soul, resonates with your heart, lifts your spirit, and calms your mind. And that's all we need to know. It is a soul intellect, and that soul intellect doesn't have to be dialogued for the mind's understanding. It's for the body's understanding. And it's so peaceful.
Absolutely. And our body is like our thermometer or barometer. That's where we feel things. When our emotions get strong, we feel it in our bodies. When our thoughts get strong, it triggers emotions that we feel in our bodies. That's when we pay attention to it. And the way you described it was so lovely. Another thing one can do is watch the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful thing, you know, that I have read about called cloud gazing, and just watching them move. Sometimes you can see figures and patterns in them.
All the time.
But
yes.
They're moving at a slower pace than our electronics are, than our busy minds are, and it does slow us down. And in your case, you had a little bit of the air energy going through the trees and you know, getting your attention so that they could speak to you in a gentler fashion. I love that.
Yeah, I'm definitely an air and water person. that's definitely what speaks to me when I'm in water. You know, that energy just absolutely revitalizes that conduit there. And air and wind, most certainly, you know, is something that completely clears my cobwebs and everything. I'm not so connected to the earth because I'm that celestial being that's still having a hard time living here. But,
well, grounding yourself might be helpful. That's bringing in what is not as available.
Mm-hmm.
Create that harmony and balance. It's like if you have a beautiful flute in the orchestra, but it's never played, you can't get that vibration in the mix. So go hug a tree or do something.
Yes.
You know, stand on the earth now and then for grounding's sake, which helps bring us more into our bodies, because our souls are living within our bodies. I like to think of our bodies as our organic car or our organic vehicle. And our souls are the drivers. Our personalities think they're the drivers while we're in our busy lives. But I've come, you know, and again, this is something I've conversed with my Akashic Records about, because I've been asked about these things by students. And the personality is really the steering wheel.
Yeah.
It's the connector between the soul and the vehicle. And when our bodies either crash or wear out, which are the two ways cars usually end their life cycle, and the two ways bodies usually end their life cycle, you know, the soul can get out of the car, thank it for its service, leave the steering wheel with the rest of the vehicle in some ways, and then go, you know, take a break before it might choose a new vehicle,
yes,
a newer model, a more robust model, perhaps.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, whatever our next evolution of work is meant to be, right? You know, you've, you know, really, you can look at Earth as, you know, as a school, and we go through each grade in each lifetime, and sometimes you have to repeat a few grades. It just depends on how much you learnt in this one. And it's kind of coming back and re-educating each time. And I think the education that we're learning is to listen to our, you know, divine soul, which I call those gut instincts. And I think that
absolutely
is, you know, that is where the universe speaks to us. And that is also the other brain in our body. You know, our divine soul is that intellect. It is an intelligence all of its own that then resonates with the heart, that gets the heart excited and passionate and you know, completely embracing what the spirit needs to do in action, and then the mind knows what it needs to know when it needs to know it. And if we get out of our minds as dictating everything, and we bring into the conversation the soul, heart, and the spirit, and the body, we actually then get the whole picture, and it's so much easier to actually understand the whys, the whats, and the hows. But if we stay in our heads, all we're getting is one perspective, and it's rather like a hamster on a treadmill going around and around and around again. You answer one question, there's another answer, you know, and you never get to any conclusion because you haven't invited in the rest of you.
No, and you don't have that harmony. You have one instrument. And you might, and I find my soul talks to me, and I believe this is true for all of us, through my thoughts. They sound like my voice, but they're you know, speaking to me if I dare to listen, if I choose to listen, and also through our dreams. That's what I'm informed through the Akashic Records of how the soul speaks to us. And becoming a better soul listener is a lot of my work with people and my some of my trainings and things, because listening to that instead of saying, oh, it's just wishful thinking, or it's just what I always think, so I shouldn't pay attention to it, and discounting the value of that does not serve us. It'll keep nagging us until we pay attention, or it'll come up in a problem or a challenge in our life, or worse yet, a physical problem. Because if our soul isn't getting listened to, it's going to make sure it grabs our attention so that we have to pay attention to it. And much better, at least I like this, to be able to listen better and follow it and partner with that essential part of us, that essence of us, you know, in a better way, so that our personality, which has its value, it's the filter through which we're living this life. It's the circumstances of our life, it's our physical makeup, our size and skin color and gender and all those good things, and our health. And, you know, be able to listen to that soul part and have it utilize the physical and the circumstances of our life, and our callings, and our desires, and our passions, and our challenges, to write our story, because our stories are each vital, or we would not be living them.
I mean, you know, I say what we really need to do today is inspire to invite. And, you know, when you're inspired by your own journey and you speak of it, you become an inspiration for someone else, and therefore you become an invitation for them to take their own journey, because they're so inspired. And I think it's, you know, inspiration is something that I think is key in life, because you want to be inspired by life. And so many people are the walking dead. They're not switched on. You know, they've just been in pain, or life has been hard for them. And instead of going, I'm going to rise above, I'm going to fight back, I'm going to, you know, do whatever I need to do to get back into my life of meaningful purpose, they give up. And it's trying to find that switch, you know, the fuse box to switch them back on. And I find that other people's stories of inspiration, of, you know, this is where I was, you know, in the hell pit, this is how I got out of it, this is what I learned from it, this is what I'm doing today, and this is how abundant my life is, this is how enriched I am. And it shows people that there are other people out there that are living in the same kind of suffering, you know, that not everybody's in that bed of roses, as you pointed out, that everybody thinks that Hollywood stars are. Everybody has their challenges. But when they share how they got out of them and where they are today, and that with that diligence and that tenacity and that value and love placed upon self, you too can be there, I think it becomes a wonderful invitation to believe they too can find that path.
That's a great way to put it. And that's very similar to what I think we were talking about earlier, when I was talking about being an example just by living your life. And that is about, you know, being an inspiration to other people. I work with many people who are practitioners and healers, and who look at their life as all about being contributions to others, but then they shortchange themselves or drain their energy. And I have to work with them to replenish their fund of vitamin fun. I found that they're very deficient in vitamin fun, and they're so busy helping others that they're draining themselves. and not enjoying their own life, as opposed to doing things that keep replenishing them so they can be resilient, the way you're
Yes.
describing here. Because people getting to the other side of a challenge doesn't mean they're never going to have any other challenges. They often do.
Just
But
know how
they
to cope
then
with them
have
better.
become resilient
Yeah.
so that they can handle those challenges
Yeah.
and bounce back or bring themselves back to center more easily. Because if I survived X, I can certainly survive Z. I learned that by doing a half marathon some years ago after my father died. And both my parents had had strokes and heart issues in their biology. And so that's in my physical makeup if it gets switched on. And I wanted to do something to exercise more because I'm very mental and emotional and empathic, but I'm not all that much of an exerciser.
Ditto.
So I suddenly took on the, and I have no idea why I decided to do this, it just suddenly seemed of interest, take on training for and doing a marathon in Hawaii on the Ironman triathlon track in the summer, June, some years ago, a year after my father died, as a memorial for him, as a way to get into exercising, because I had to walk 13 miles, a half marathon, to know that I can always walk 3 miles whenever I need to. I have to go big, because
yes.
then it's back a little bit, but I do more than I did before. So I had to take that on, and I had to stretch my comfort zone to be able to do more, but then you never go back. Then you become more resilient. So if I survived that marathon, I was the next to the last one walking in, but I made it, and a lot of people did not finish. And I kept going, and the last, you know, several miles were the hardest. But by that point, I wasn't going to give up, and I was so determined to walk over that finish line. And because I could do that, when other things come up in my life, or the lives of the people in my family that are challenging, sometimes life-threatening or life-altering, I'm more able to deal with it. Because if I could do that, I can handle these other things that are not by choice sometimes, and that are even bigger and more impacting on multiple people, and stay centered and clear and help myself handle them because of having done that thing before.
Precisely. And
so whatever we do adds to our resilience,
yeah.
doesn't
yeah.
it?
It does. I mean, we actually have no idea how strong, how resilient, and how extraordinary we are, you know, and what we're capable of, because, you know, we've been told to live in this box and low expectations placed upon us. And, you know, when we push against those boundaries and say, I'm not going to take this box, what box? And just kind of, as you said, push yourself outside of your comfort zone. Go and do things, whether you think you can do them or not. And who cares if you do them well or not? It's the fact that you've got out there and attempted to do them, right? That's the importance. You've placed enough value upon yourself to try. The worst thing is never trying. Now, you get to know your boundaries then. And, you know, like, oh,
yeah.
I really could do that very well. Oh, I ain't going to do that one again. That is not for me. But it's exploring, you know, and what comes naturally, what really feels good, what you really feel you can do, and fuel what you're really good at. And what you're not, delegate. Find somebody
totally.
Else that's good at it.
And I found after doing that half marathon, I never need to do a half marathon again, although it was lovely going to Hawaii and doing it there. And yet I've done several 5Ks, which is about 3 miles, when I've gotten lazy and slipped back and need to boost things up again. And I know I can do them
yeah.
because I did the other.
Yeah.
But I don't have to do that one again.
Don't have
and
to
also,
prove it to yourself. You know, you did it.
No.
Yeah.
I did it, and I did it, you know, if I'd known what I was taking on, I might not have started. But I thought, all right, let's do this. I don't know why I want to do this, but let's do it. And I did it as a fundraiser for the American Stroke Association. And so it had a bigger value and purpose. And in fact, I had raised enough money through my fundraising efforts, which are not easy for me, but people came along and supported and donated, and it was great. And I had extra in what I got donated, and I was able to help fill in the gap for two young women whose fathers had also died from strokes and who didn't quite make the fundraising goal. So I was able to transfer some of my funds to them and still meet my goal so they could also be there.
Yeah.
And when I saw them walking, I felt so good that I could help them because they had done everything else to make it happen, and I could fill in that little piece, and that made it even more of an accomplishment for me. I do want to say something about vitamin sun again, though, because so many of us are deficient in it.
Mm-hmm.
We're so busy working. We even if we love our work, I love my work, but I still need to do things just for the fun of it to replenish that childlike side, that part of me that likes to play. And now that I'm in my 60s, I'm way more childlike even than I was in my 40s when I was raising a child.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm having so much more fun doing things just for the fun of it. And you were talking about not having to do everything perfectly. I started coloring again. I don't know if you're familiar with how suddenly coloring for adults became a big deal.
Yes.
Last year and continues, which
yes.
is lovely. We should never have stopped.
No.
Coloring's not just for kids. It actually stimulates. I love how this is. I read about this in Reader's Digest, one of my favorite magazines, that coloring actually stimulates the same part of the brain as prayer and meditation do, the part related to spirituality and self.
Mm-hmm.
And also choosing colors and using them and even coloring outside the lines. So it's not perfect. It's not an art competition. It's a mindfulness, focusing, creative enjoyment tool. And just choosing colors, because each color has a vibration, and how they work together and create that visual harmony when you put them on the paper. And sometimes you color a picture and you don't like the color, so you get another copy of it and you color it differently. You know, it's not like drawing something, which I cannot do, but I can color. And doing it just for fun and not having to do it perfectly, not having it need to be great art, but to be an activity for me to focus and to relax and to let go of all that stuff in our lives. And I now oversee a coloring group that meets monthly at my local library, and there are free coloring groups or low-cost coloring groups all over the country at libraries, community centers, senior centers, bookstores, where they give you coloring pictures and you can use crayons and pencils while you're there. And I was having a very bad day a couple months ago, and it was the coloring zone night. And I went, and by the time we were finished, after an hour and a half, that's about the right time for a coloring group experience, and you just sit and color, or you talk to the other people around you, and either way is fine. But I felt so much more centered, and the things that had gone on during my day and the things that had bothered me weren't a big deal anymore. And it was fun. It was not work. It was not just to make me better. It was to help me relax and help me play. So I invite anybody to try things out like that, whether it's coloring or crocheting or, you know, playing basketball with your child or, you know, tossing a ball or going to the park, whatever that is, to use those things we have available to us and to be a kid again, no matter how old our bodies are.
Exactly. You know, you work within limitations, but you know, you know, my daughter is studying psychology, and she wants to work with seniors. But she, her avenue that she wants to work in is actually art therapy, because
great.
You know, for her, she totally believes that art is so very therapeutic. And you know, I've done so many shows on meditation, and you know, we've brought coloring into it. That coloring is very meditative.
Yes.
And it's, you know, you might not be able to, you know, I mean, if you got me down on the floor with, you know, my legs crossed like pretzels, you probably need a crane to get me back up. I'm just not designed that way. But, you know, finding that something that calms your mind, which calms your body, opens up your chakras, allows the energy to come through. And as you said, each color has an energy signature and is invitational of how you want to feel. I go further to the point of what you wear. If
yes.
you are feeling down, wear something colorful to bring you back up. You know, it's so easy for us to go into the grays and the blacks. And that's at that lower vibration. If you want to raise your vibration, put something on of color, and you know, to help stimulate you and bring you back up. Because even wearing it up against your body has a healing effect. So you know, whether we colour or whether we wear colour or paint, you know, of course people paint, it's that colour is so absolutely energetically stimulating and calming. So as you said, it's finding that something that gives you that peace. And you know, and if it's colouring, my neighbour downstairs, she gets all these you know, mandala books and colours in. And it's incredibly therapeutic for her. And you know, I'm not one of those. For me, it's not that kind of therapy. I'm writing words, right? Speaking of words.
That's, well, that's my journaling art. Does the other yes. part of it. That's one reason that I've been delighted to transform some of my coaching programs with a publishing partner of mine who got me into coloring, and we've created a whole series of transformational coloring journals that use coloring and journaling, because journaling, like for you, is that other activity yeah. that uses that part of the brain. And we also have guided meditations that are linked to them that people can download. And for me, I can't do Zen meditation. I cannot sit yeah. and turn off my mind.
Nope.
Like you, the floor is yeah. too far away for me.
Yeah.
But I can do guided meditation work and go on inner journeys. For me, that works very well. And finding the tools that are right for you works well. Oddly enough, with the color, I have a funny anecdote. I created a coaching program, which we're putting in one of the coloring journals, that uses color, among other things, and each week we focus on a different part of life and a color that's attached to it is a piece of that. And when we were in the week with red, one of the women who was taking it didn't like to wear red. It didn't look good on her coloring, but she wore red underwear, red bra. Her whole energy field was mm-hmm. infused with this red that was under the surface that only she knew about. And she had more energy that week. She was on fire, and she loved it. And you know, you don't have to wear it on the surface. You can wear a little piece of it, or you can wear it, you know, as your
jewelry, clothing. Underwear, yes, a little
or
accessory.
Or you can eat foods. Yeah, you can eat foods with those colors. There's all kinds of different things that vibrate with them, and I have a great time working with that. So thank you for mentioning that.
Well, you know, let's talk about, you know, the food is that as an activity. You know, for some people, they may want to bake or they may want to cook. You know, my son is one of those. Is that when he is cooking, he presents it like a piece of art. And it's very, very important how it's presented, because, you know, if you can't eat it visually, he's upset. So it's always artistic. And then all those flavors have to dance and form, you know, a symphony in your mouth. And that's only when he's happy, because that's his love and heart that's in that food. And so it's finding what it is in you that you're so passionate about. I love doing this and doing it. You know, don't say, but I'm not trained or I'm not this. No, just get out and do it. Do it for you. Do it for the people you love. And you will never know where it goes. You know, look at how many people... Oops, sorry. Somebody trying to call me. You never know where it may take you until, you know, you allow yourself to take that journey, right? That's really, really important. Hi, folks. Sorry we had a drop there for a moment. We're back. And you were saying, Barbara?
Well, I was talking about how sometimes people are not doing the things that are fun for them, whereby they might meet the people they want to meet because they're doing something fun, whatever that is, like taking a cooking class. I actually went and took cooking classes at one time, and they were very fun. You were talking about your son and how he does his cooking and presentation in a really special way. And just taking a cooking class can be fun because you're learning new things. You're getting the aromas and the tastes of new foods. You're meeting new people who also like to do that. And so sometimes when people, especially women that I work with, are between relationships and looking for how they're going to find their soulmate, thinking that it's just one person on the planet, when I don't necessarily see it that way. I see someone in our soul group who's ready to walk down the path with us from where we are now and who's on our wavelength. We can cross paths with them, and you never know where you're going to meet them. Maybe at a cooking class, maybe at a coloring group, maybe through a friend or someone you just meet through something you do that's fun. But if you're not out there doing the things that are fun for you, it's less likely to meet those people for whom those all things are also fun. And the upside is that even if you don't meet them, you're still having fun. You're radiating your essence
Yes.
at its highest level by doing something that feeds you. And then your energy is higher from then on, and they're more likely to notice your light when you're walking down the street and be, you know, suddenly strike up a conversation with you, perhaps. So doing something that is fun is worthwhile, even if it's cooking class.
Yeah, exactly. No matter what it is, just go and find that something that turns you on. Or this that you want to explore. You know, you might go and take a class and go, okay, this is not for me. I've just burnt the kitchen down. You know, maybe I need to try something else. But go and be adventurous. Try a few things. And then there's going to be that something that goes, oh, I didn't know I could do this. I really enjoy it. And, you know, you might do that for a few months, a few years, and decide to move on to something else. That is about that evolution we're talking about, that growth that we need to do. We're not meant to just do one thing and stay with it for the rest of our lives. It leads to other things. So be open, be willing, be adventurous. It goes with the same of talk to people. You know, I have an elderly dog right now, so I can't get out with her as much anymore. But we used to go to coffee shops, and I'd sit outside with her, and she would always invite a conversation. And, you know, you know, I met my my business partner through that way. And, you know, that you don't know who you're going to meet. It could be just a conversation that lifts you up in that moment. It could be something that grows into something else. Don't go with expectations, but go with that invitation to you want to vibrationally meet someone. I'm here. I'm available. I'm friendly. And you never know who you're going to meet. So you kind of have to step outside of your comfort zone and just make yourself available for people to actually approach you.
Totally. And also to see who likes to do what you like to do. That doesn't mean they're going to be your, you know, soulmate or life partner or even playmate for a while, which is always a good thing to have playmates. But they may know someone who is.
Yes.
They may be that connecting link. So, Sarah, what's one thing that you haven't done yet that appeals to you that might be fun? I'm curious.
Oh, gosh. Yes, that's a loaded question. you know, my life has been kind of really so revolved around this radio station right now that everything has gone into it completely.
Of course.
And, you know, having a senior dog right now who is really kind of, you know, on I won't say her last legs, but definitely getting there. And I can't think of doing anything until she's had her journey. But it's, you know, I'd like to do more speaking engagements. You know, I do it always here online, and I'm doing summits and things like this, but I'd like to get out and do that more and connect with people more. And I'd love to do some traveling again. You know, I love traveling, and it's been a long time since I've done it. So just kind of getting out there and just finding those like-souled people and inspiring each other. So that's
great.
About as fun as I can go at the moment.
That's plenty. And again, just knowing something you might like to do that's fun, and I mention that because, again, many of the people that I do work with or Akashic sessions with or counseling with, and I ask them, what would you like to do for fun? And they have no clue.
I mean, I enjoy being around my kids. You know, I mean, I love... They're all adults. They're all following their lives, and I love hanging out with them and doing things with them. But yes, it's what we do for ourselves, and we don't give our permission to kind of go and do something for ourselves, do we?
No, and sometimes making a list of those things that you hear about on the radio or someone else mentions, you read about in a magazine that sound like fun, so that when you're not sure what you could do for fun and you need a little bit more vitamin fun, you can go to your list and refer to it and say, oh, there's six things on here. I feel like number three today.
Mm-hmm.
Let's try that and see what happens. And sometimes we need to think of those things in advance, because when we need it most, when we're most depleted or most, you know, in that place of now what,
mm-hmm.
we need something to kind of prime our pump, and sometimes we can't think of it then. So making a little list when things do come to mind, you don't have to do them instantly, but that's the list you have for those moments.
Yeah, because if you are stuck or you're at a crossroads with something in life, the last thing you're going to do to resolve it is to worry it. You need to step away and go and do something, as you said, that rejuvenates you. You come back with fresh eyes, fresh perspective, and very often come back with the answer that you need. But you're never going to get it while you're in the thick of it. You need to step aside from it.
Totally. I find that, You know, for me, if I'm getting stuck or emotionally or mentally ruminating about things or feeling stuck about things, I will go take a walk. I will just walk around my block. And that shifts the energy. It shifts my physical energy. And in our bodies, I don't know if not too many people think about this except me, we have all four elements. Mm-hmm. We have the physical in our bones and our skin and our organs. We have the air in our lungs and our breathing. We have the water in our blood and our fluids. And we have that divine fire spark in our temperature. Mm-hmm. So we are king around all four elements. And sometimes we need to get out of the chair and away from the computer, which is very mental, totally mental, and shake it up a little bit just by taking a walk.
Put some music on and get your body grooving.
That too, yeah. I like reggae. Sometimes I turn on reggae in the house. I don't dance very well, but its energy lifts me up.
Yes, and you can't help but move. You know, the body just starts grooving along to it. You know, I do that for therapy. If I'm feeling down or feeling stuck, I put on the old YouTube and I look at, you know, music and songs, and especially on these talent shows where you're seeing people who, you know, I just don't know how good they are, and they get out there and they sing and they blow you away, and it just completely lifts me and feeds me and fortifies me, and then I feel great and physically feel more energetic because I have been kind of spiritually energized. So it's, we've got to find out what it is that is our release, isn't it? That is our fortifier, and make sure that we do it more on a regular basis.
Absolutely, and that's how we create our symphony, going back to some of the things you touched on when we started, and create that harmony. And since we are always moving forward, even when we think we're not, we are always evolving, even when we think we're not, doing it with more joyousness, even through the challenges that we face, doing it with more harmony, letting all of those parts of us and our lives work together, create that synergy so they can be in that harmonious flow, is really what gives us the energy to live our lives and to be in the moment, because we can often be looking back at what happened before or what didn't happen before, or looking forward at what hasn't happened yet, and not be in the present. That's where the coloring, the mindfulness, the dancing, all these things we're talking about are valuable. Because we're living in the moment as we're writing our story, one word at a time, one day at a time.
I'm just reminded of a movie that I think is beautiful and everybody should see. It's called August Rush. It had Robin Williams in it, and the young guy that played in Neverland and the Chocolate Factory, a really brilliant young actor. And it's about a little boy that was given up and is brought up in an orphanage. And he hears music in everything, in the way the wind rustles through the corn, the leaves, the pots and pans, and he literally creates an orchestrated music out of it. And it's a story of how, you know, parents gave him up or didn't know about him, the fight to find him, for him to find his parents, and he knows he's going to find them through music. He knows that if he plays his music publicly, they will know it's him. And it's just such an emotionally stirring movie, you know, and it's got its, you know, it's thriller type moments in it with Robin Williams, but it's just that sheer music is in everything. That vibration, that love, that flow, that harmony is in everything, because he made music out of everything. And I think that's something to remind us, is that stop limiting yourself by your mind, because your mind doesn't always see. If you feel life and let your feelings guide you, you will see, hear, and feel so much more beyond those limited boundaries that you've placed upon yourself.
Absolutely. And I always talk about how our souls are expressing not just to us, but through us. Mm-hmm. And it is that vibration. And thank you for mentioning that movie. It's not one people are familiar with, but ironically, Sarah, it's one where I read the script before it got made into a movie and recommended it to the company I was working for. I don't think they made the movie, but that was one of the ones I got to read as a script reader and consultant for Hollywood companies, and one of the ones that touched me the way it touched you.
And I can watch it over and over again, and even though I know the storyline, I am touched. It was beautifully done. And, you know, and there was also a guy on a talent show that bought out all these strings and attached the strings to, you know, the lights and then played that. I mean, it's just that there are some extraordinary things out there that come out of ordinary things. And stop looking to be extraordinary. Be ordinary, because that will lead you to your extraordinary. And it's, you know, the only way we've got limitations is what we place upon ourselves. So if you decide that there aren't any, and you're just going to explore and try it out and see where it goes, you know, that's why we have so much innovation today, right?
Life is about experimenting. And also not just creating new things, but synthesizing and synergizing what's already there in new ways. So many healers and teachers are taking ancient wisdom, I'm told I do this, and putting it into new forms and new contexts,
yes,
for use now. So it's all being, for lack of a better word, recycled in a good way and upgraded and amplified as we're all evolving up another octave.
Amplified, that's what I love. And it is, you know, it's... You know, I interviewed a quantum physics scientist, and, you know, one of the statements that came about in that show was that quantum physicists now who measure energy and understand that energy is in every single thing. It's in the wood, it's in the table, everything has its own signature. And they're now realizing and understanding people who are living in spirituality. They're living in the energy. They're using that energy all the time. They're riding that energy all the time. And so that divide between science and spirituality suddenly was no longer a divide. The scientists measure it, but the spiritualists live in it. And there's a beautiful bridge of understanding now.
Thank you for pointing that out, because to me, we're all spiritual beings.
Yes.
We're all living a spiritual energy in our daily lives. No matter whether we're taking out the garbage or cooking a meal or meditating or writing a book, it's all spiritual. And there is no separation. That's why my work has become life and soul synergy, because our souls are expressing through our lives, and our lives are giving vehicles for expression to our souls. It's
exactly.
All part of the same.
And it's being recognized now. You know, is it that,
well, finally.
You know, finally they're waking up to the fact that this is what it is. I mean, you know, so many people are using energy as healing. You know, my partner himself, he's broken his back 4 times, had Parkinson's, completely healed himself through energetic healing. And,
wow.
You know, the power of energy, you know, like when you're amongst people that give you a bad vibe, it affects you, you know, it ricochets. Your whole body can vibrate with that uncomfortable vibe. When you're amongst people that lift you up and you're in sync and in harmony and you're creating music together, you know, you become that symphony, it raises everybody up. So we need to be aware of the people we're around, the environment that we're around, and that we do honor who we are and what makes us harmonious. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to contribute to the good vibrations.
Absolutely, again. And a great deal of my work's focus is on living from the soul's point of view in addition to the human point of view, and being in that soul space and aligning with it in everything I do, even the challenges, and helping other people learn ways that work for them to do the same, because not every tool, not every method, not every way works for everyone,
right.
And finding the ones that work for you is part of that journey.
Yeah,
so
that
it's
living
really
in balance,
a wonderful
right?
experience. Yes, it's a wonderful experience to find those things that work for you, because then you can use them, even if it doesn't work for anybody else you know. But being able to have tools and resources and inspiration like you provide through your radio show and books like the ones I write and courses and things that we all create gives more people more opportunities to find what works for them and then create the ones that work for them that are unique for them, that are their soul expression in the world today. And then that becomes that inspiration and example we were talking about before.
Yeah, I mean, really, we don't have an excuse today. We can't say we don't know. Because, and you know, I interviewed somebody yesterday with one of the first radio blogs, you know, radio podcasts that went out and broadcasting online. And they started this 13 years ago, you know, a lot before a lot of them came out there. And, you know, people say, why do you want to, interview the competitive? And that's because I look at it as collaborative. The more we're getting that conversation out there, that that inspiration out there, that invitation out there, the more we're awakening souls, and we're both soul awakeners, the more we're showing people the tools that can be used in their own beautiful, divine, spiritual purpose in life, the more we raise that vibration, and the more we take away that controlling factor that has been there for so long, and the higher powers that be, I'm not talking about the universal ones, the earthly ones,
right?
You know, the more we can take ownership of our own lives, because we now know how and why and where and who's going to help us. So getting this message out is really, really important, because if you can change one person's life, that's one person's life change, but whose life do they change? And that domino effect just keeps on going, and that's what we've got to understand. It's not about the trillions out there. It's about us changing our lives that then changes the lives of the people around us.
I was given the cosmic job of being a joy spreader at one point in my Akashic Records work. And all I had to do was smile at people in elevators and actually look them in the eyes and connect. But I had to be 120% in the space of joy to be able to pass it on. I couldn't be in 80%.
Yeah.
So it affected me in stepping into that space for that moment and then passing it along and trusting that they will then be uplifted a little bit and pass it on. And since then, I actually wrote about this in an anthology that I contributed to some years ago called Happiness Awaits You. People have told me that they've already been doing the same thing even before they read my chapter or heard about what I did. So there's a whole squad of joy spreaders out there, and I invite you and anyone listening to join us, because doing that one person at a time, again, shifts the energy, uplifts it in the Akashic Records, which is that vibrational dimension of everything we think, feel, see, hear, do throughout our lifetime that we're all feeding into and contributing to. We add more positive energy, just like your show is about, positive living, to that field. And that affects all of us.
A smile costs nothing. And yet it can mean everything to someone. They could be having a bad day and you give them a smile and a greeting, and all of a sudden they're seen, they're heard, and it can shake out of where they're at and it can lift them up. It costs nothing, but it pays dividends.
And it can save the world. If more of us can do that on a regular basis, no matter what's happening in our life, to be in that place of appreciation, gratitude, joy, allowing how things are to be as they are for now, then that can put us in that place of peace.
Remember
more
the
than
song,
fear.
Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Absolutely.
And you know, that is simplifying our lives, isn't it? You know, just don't worry, be happy. Choose to smile and laugh and be moved by something, and don't buy into the suppression, and don't buy into the fear, and don't buy into the thunder. You know, look at the lightning as something beautiful that's going to come in and, you know, send a wonderful spark to change the atmosphere. You know, everything has its purpose, but it's up to us how we choose positive living. If we want to have a positive life, we've got to create it for ourselves, don't we?
We do.
So, my dear, how do people get hold of all your books? How do they book your services? And do you have anything at the present moment that you're offering in your courses that can help them?
Well, I have a new book that just got published and is up on Amazon called Your Akashic Records, a coloring journal for exploring your life and expressing your soul. And it's kind of a bit of soul support, Akashic Records information 101, as well as there are coloring pictures, inspirational quotes, and journaling pages, so you can look at your life from the point of view of your soul a little bit just through the book. So they can find that on Amazon along with my other books, and they can either search for my name and my author page on Amazon and find access to all of them. Or they can go to my website, which is yourlifeandsoul.com, all spelled out, yourlifeandsoul.com. And if they would like to connect with me for information about coaching sessions, Akashic readings, which I do by phone and Skype as well as in person, they can get my phone number and email information at my website or send me a note and I will get in touch with them.
And do you have a couple of e-courses, Take a Leap of Life and Energize Your Life with the Four Elements?
Thank you for mentioning those. Those are up on dailyom.com. And it's Taking Your Leap of Faith. It's the art and science of taking leaps of faith, an 8-course, one lesson a week, with guided meditations and things to do, and looking at the stages of taking leaps of faith, because actually taking the leap is the middle stage. Then it's the recalibrating part. And the early stages are getting ready to take that leap, which sometimes takes the longest. And then also my Energize Your Life with the Four Elements e-course uses the four elements, like we were talking about before, as ways of balancing and harmonizing your life. And that's a 6-part e-course. They're very inexpensive. They're very fun. You can check them out at dailyom.com.
Excellent. And of course, everything here is on the posting. And you've also got your site, barbaraschiffman.com as well. So
yes,
everything is here, and your coloring journal, which is a beautiful one, absolutely exquisite. I love what you do. You're a soul sister, and I love what you're contributing to the world. And, you know, the more good vibrations we get out there, the happier this world's going to be. And it all starts with each and every one of us, doesn't it? If we want to see a difference in the world, we've got to be the difference in our own lives.
I totally agree. Thank you for saying that.
Well, thank you so much for being with us here today, Barbara, and look forward to having you back on again in the future. And to everyone else, remember, you know, it is up to us, and you do need to reach out to somebody that's taken the journey, that knows what they're doing, that can help you find your own path. They've got the tools, they've got the knowledge. They're here because they believe in you. They're going to help you believe in yourself and find your inner joy and what it is that leads you to your meaningful purpose. They're not teachers or leaders per se, as they are guiders and nurturers. And when you feel that nurture, that love and that guidance, it helps you open up to believe in yourself. And when you do that, you learn to place value upon yourself. So reach out to them. Reach out to Barbara. Her coloring book is exquisite. All her other books are so easy to follow. And let's take that first step and see where it leads you. Okay? Until next time, folks.